Hello, let us start with our chapter number 2 for system modeling. I am Mr. Sunil Kankal. I am sure that you must have been gone through chapter 1 of software engineering methods. How do you take ahead in terms of these same software engineering methods as a system modeling? So system modeling is the process of developing abstract models of the system, with each model presenting a different view or a perspective of that system. One more thing is, software system modeling has generally come to mean the representing the system using some kind of a graphical notation, which is now often or almost based on the notations in the unified modeling language. However, it is also possible to develop formal mathematical models, usually a detailed system specifications. So you can always say that they are used during the requirement of engineering process to help derive the requirements for a system. So during the design process, to describe the system to engineers implementing the system, and after implementation, document the system's structure and operations. So one may develop different models to represent the system from different perspectives. For example, an external perspective, where you model the context or environment of the system. And another example is an interaction perspective, where you model the interactions between a system and an environment, or between the components of the system. So what can be the context of this system modeling? In system project or development early steps, one is to decide and agree on the boundaries or clear understanding of in-scope and out-of-scope deliverables. So this involves working with the system stakeholders to decide what functionality should be included in the system or what is provided by the system's environment. So altogether, when you talk about system modeling, context model, it is nothing but you're trying to redefine and do a fine tuning to the scope of work. And once you understand the scope of work, you will be able to come out how do you make the or develop a clear understanding in terms of deliverables. Deliverables are nothing but making sure that you are meeting customer requirements. So one may decide that automated support for some business person should be implemented, but others should be manual process or supported by different systems. You should look off at a possible overlaps in the functionality and existing systems and decide where new functionality should be implemented. So these decisions should be made early in the process to limit the system cost and the time needed for the understanding the system requirements and the design. For instance, if the organization is thinking of picking up a customer or picking up customer data from their website, up to what level customer data is required to be captured and how it is going to be protected should be a part of the context setting. This is where something called as a security of data comes into the picture. So it is also essential to set a system boundary in early stages. Example, a clarity of activities to be carried out on site or from the remote. So you can refer a diagram depicting the context model for an ATM system of the bank, which will definitely come across next slides. So when you say for an ATM machine, what can context? So this is another block level view in order to ensure that you are going to take care for an ATM system different areas for the particular a basic auto teller system, which is going to really take all the ATM operations. What is important is in this context, you need to ensure in writing a code, the security system is taken care. Your account database, what database you are going to collect, how you are going to keep it, where you are going to make sure that a different compartment is done. Then what is the usage database, what are the log reports, how that usage database, because that's where it's going to help you in terms of tracking any kind of a failures. Then there is something called a maintenance system, some hardware components, movable components, that maintenance system there, because this is very important. If the hardware or the external components which is supported to the software are well functionable, the things will have a smooth flow. Branch counter system. So this branch counter system is also equally going to support the branch accounting system. So when you talk about ATM, it is nothing but it is related to the banking activities. So every bank, the branch, then through the branch, with whose account, how much money is withdrawn, what is the security system, what kind of a log reports are there, how it is going to communicate to the central server, and making sure that the whole system not only accountable but has a database, log reports, and a proper accounting is done. So this is something called the framework. You have the proper framework, and this framework is going to help you, guide you in terms of writing a code and making a successful software program. So context model, discussing more what you noticed in figure number one, which is this one. So they are normally show that environment includes several other automated systems. However, they do not show the types of relationship between the systems in the environment and the system that is being specified. So external system might produce data for or might consume the data from the system. So they might share the data with the system, or they might be connected directly through a network or not connected at all. So they might be physically co-located or co-located in the separate buildings. So this diagram is not going to show that whether the physical location is in the branch or in a different location, and their communication is connected through a satellite or through a wire or through internet. So, but yes, it gives a holistic picture that all together the things has to function. Either the location is same or the location is different, which is nothing but that communication between each block is a media. The media can be in the same place, can be a different place. So coming here, all of these relations may affect the requirements, and the design of the system being defined and must be taken into account. So therefore, simple context models are used along with the other models, such as business process models. So these all describe human and automated process in which a particular software systems are used. So a context model is going to really give a generalized idea about where you need an automation, where you know, how do you interconnect the automated models and make sure the total business process flows and the business model works, taking into account the security of the transactions. So interaction model. Let's talk more about interaction models. Any system to work effectively and efficiently, it involves interaction of some means. This interaction could be as simple as user putting the inputs, approving certain workflows, or it could be difficult as several modules within the system interacting with each other. So this could also involve interaction with other systems. So modeling component interaction helps us understand if a proposed system structure is likely to deliver the required system performance and its dependability. Let's discuss two approaches in the interaction model: use case modeling and sequence diagram. What is this use case modeling? Mostly used to model the interactions between the system and external actions, users or other systems. And in case of a sequence diagrams, used to model interactions between the system components, although external agents may also be included. So what is the use case modeling? So we refer to the earlier figure. So a classic case of a several use case for an ATM. Now for a customer and for an ATM technicians, use cases differ. Notice that all components need not to interact with each other all the time. So taking clue from other use case, so we'll have one more diagram which demonstrates the use case of medical receptionist. So let us think about the first use case, a classic case of an ATM. So if you see this use case in this interaction model, it is for example a bank ATM. So you have, if you see this context, you've got one part is bank ATM, ATM technician, customer, and the bank. So 1, 2, 3, 4 models. Now how these different four models, they do an interaction. If you see a customer would like to check the balance, deposit funds, withdraw cash, transfer funds. So these are the four major requirements from the customer going to the bank. So he wants the four different information. So how we can use to the transactions using the bank ATM, and when the locations are at different places. Now, bank is the place which is the home branch for that particular customer. So, it can be different location, ATM has a different location, and customer standing in front of the ATM. And another requirement is the ATM technicians. So, what is the technician doing? Now, in order to make that ATM functionally, the technician would like to do the maintenance and repair. Maintenance of all the moving parts, which are the mechanical parts. Repairs, similarly, the outdated or any malfunctioning of the hardware components, that repair. Maintenance also includes reloading the cash or reloading the currencies into that particular bank. So they have got something called as a box, and which is quite sealed, and the currencies are fed, so that it is quite secure. So let's not go ahead into that thing. So these are the two areas where maintenance and repairs is required by the technician. Now here in this ATM model, the software is already tested, quality assurance is done and running. So when you think about your interaction model, you need to think that when you're writing a software code, these things are taken care of. A maintenance and the repair. Now these two things, why that repair comes? The repair is a component. If some component is not functioning, you don't get an input going to the software. If software cannot understand, let's say for example, you want to count the cash or the currencies. When it is counting the cash and currencies, for each mechanical interaction, there is some kind of an input is generated, and that is given to the software. That's where there is something called as a counter. That software counter, it always detects the counts, and number two, it always also detects the currency value. Now if these two things, if it doesn't goes from the sensors to the ATM system, your software will not work. So what? Your software need to have a good hardware, a functional hardware, workable hardware. When this gives the right value of input to these things, it is going to work. So you have to think, you need these inputs are going to. So while designing this interaction model, you need to think in writing the things. So when you think it, there may be a situation in writing the code where when you try to find out there is something called as a input is not coming. So there has to be a feedback system. What is feedback system? If input is failed, it should generate some error code. That error code, the technician knows. And based on the technician, he takes a call that for this so-and-so error code, I am going to either replace the hardware or remove the hardware, take it to the repair or put down the new hardware. Or not, if that is not the case, he may take a decision based on the error codes. He may say that he want to replace a complete machine or he want to replace a complete software, or maybe the software is not functioning properly. It can be different reasons. So you have to take that interaction model in terms of when you write a code, you need to see what error codes are generated to identify and help the technician to make sure that system functions. So can't you believe the software is a life, it's a heart to the aid to the hardware. Let's take another example. This is another example of a receptionist in a hospital system. So how does an hospital receptionist can cater? So one of the requirements, hospital reception. So as a receptionist, she has got a computer with a piece of software. So what are the things she has to take care of? So this is another case study. So there are five to six items. One is a scheduling the patient appointment. This is very much she want to schedule. That patient who is coming, is you record the patients whenever you go to the hospitals. She takes appointment, registers and goes to the piece of software. It's a database. Second is the scheduling the patient's hospital admission. So patient is ready, but you need to admit it. One of the functions, patient registration. Another is a patient's hospital admission, file insurance claims, and file medical reports. So when you identify that these are the six components, how these six components interact each other. So when you take a patient registration, you check the demographics of the patients, which is recorded by the system. That demographics are very important whenever the patient is registered. When it is registered, it goes to the database, and that is useful when the next time the patient comes. So how that interaction was to happen, extending that registration to the hospital admission, extending that registration to the appointment levels, extending that same registration to the whether it's going to belong to the outpatient admission or inpatient admission or bed allotment. And with all this inclusion, the new software is demanding about the filing the insurance forms, claiming. So you are helping the customer in terms of taking care of not only recovery of the patient, but helping the patient to give the services related to the insurance and also generating the medical reports. Now, when you say generating medical reports, means it's not only the reports required for the doctors, but it also reports for the financial system, which is called the billing system. So this has to be taken as an interaction model whenever you're designing the software. So coming back, these are the two case studies. I hope you are having some knowledge and how do you take into your actual practical life, converting the practical life into the system designing process. So with these two models, you come to know now how a sequence diagram can work. Okay, so when you talk about the sequence diagram, this is where is the sequence diagram. So what is that sequence diagram? So referring back to the again ATM case, where each task is done in exact sequence. The interaction sequence is depicted by number of better understanding, by the numbers for better understanding in a given diagram. So as an explained, sequence cannot be skipped or altered for a desired output. So this is one of the sequence which is happening at the bank ATM system for that first use case study. Again, there are four parts. One is bank client, ATM machine, accounting system and check-in account. So this is, if you see, the flow diagram is shown, that number one, request, number two, entering that request, then requesting the amount, then entering the amount. So these steps are very important. They cannot cross or jump to the another steps. When you're creating a step, you're writing the code in that manner that you execute one. When you execute, you go to the next. When you do the next, you go to the third. But again, you also incorporate that the third request, if it is run, it has gotten confirmation that the first two results are successful. If first two are successful, the third is executable. If all first three are successful, the fourth is executable. One cannot jump from first step to the fourth step or second step to the fourth step. So this sequence also has to be taken care in the way that the skipping doesn't happen. And accordingly, you see the process transaction successful, dispensing the cash, okay, request check, continuation or terminate. So all these steps is not only happening at one ATM machine, it is also equally communicated to the central server, which is basically nothing but this is called as a CBS system, core banking system. They have got a server which is governed not only by the bank but by the Reserve Bank of India, ensuring that the transactions are happening in a sequence way. There is a log of files generated, and log is in nothing but a reporting system which always helps the banking system to identify for kind of a errors, failures, and that failures is because of the fraud or because of the software or because of some other threats. So that's where we are going to speak more about security standards in the upcoming chapters. So going next, knowing more about structural model. So what is a structural model? It's an objective of the structural model is to discover the key data contained in the problem domain to build a structural model of objects. Structural models of software display the organization of a system in terms of components that make up that system and the relationships. So the same where is this model when you are talking is connected to the database, and where you are going to come to the terms kind of structured query language. So coming back, what is a structural model? It may be a static model which shows the structure of the system design, or a dynamic model which shows the organization of the system when it is executing. So these are not the same things. The dynamic organization of the system as a set of interacting threads may be very different from a static model of the system components. You create a structural model of a system when you are discussing and designing the system architecture. Architectural design is particularly important topic in software engineering, and a UML component, package and deployment diagrams may all be used when presenting the architectural models. So there are three major elements for this thing: class diagram, generalization, So what is a class diagram? Class diagram in a structural model is, class diagrams are used when developing an object-oriented system model to show the classes in a system and the associations between these classes. Loosely, an object class can be thought of a general definition of one kind of a system object, and an association is a link between classes that indicates that there is a relationship between these classes. Consequently, each class may have to some knowledge of its associated class. So when you are developing the models during the early stages of software engineering process, objects represent something in the real world, such as a patient, prescription, doctor, etc. So as an implementation is developed, you usually need to define additional implementation objects that are used to provide the required system functionality. So generalization. Now you had seen about the class, its objects, different areas. So coming to this another layer of the structure model, generalization is an everyday technique that we use to manage complexity. Rather than learn the detailed characteristics of every entity that we experience, we place these entities in a more general classics. For example, animals, cars, houses, and learn these characteristics from these classes. So this allows us to infer that different members of these classes have some common characteristics. For example, squirrels and rats are rodents. Okay, we can make general statements that apply to all class members. For example, all rodents have teeth for gnawing. So in modeling system, it is often useful to examine the classes in a system to see if there is a scope for generalization. This means that common information will be maintained in one place only. Now this is a good design practice, as it means that if changes are proposed, then you do not have to look at the classes in the system to see if they are affected by the change. In object-oriented language such as Java, generalization is implementation or it is implemented using the class inheritance mechanism built into the language. So when you have seen these class models, there are something more is about behavioral models. Behavioral models is after the class generalization of behavioral models are the models of dynamic behavior of the system as it is executing. They show what happens or what is supposed to happen when a system responds to a stimulus from its environment. It basically indicates that software will respond to you, can think of these stimuli as being of the two types. Data, some data arrives that has to be processed by the system. Events, some event happens that triggers the system. Events may have associated data, but this is not always the case. So many business systems are data processing systems that are primarily driven by data. They are controlled by the data input to the system with a relatively little external event processing. So their process involves a sequence of actions or that data and the generation of the output. So this interaction can happen in five ways. What are these five ways of the interaction? That is very normally it is in a industrial and practical life called as a crude analysis. It's create, read, update, delete, and execute. You create, what you create, you should be readable, and whatever is readable can be updated, and when you update means you have the option to delete and as well as to execute. So it's called as a crude behavioral model. Let us understand more about this crude behavioral model. So if you see, in a simple, how does a turn off, shut down is taken care about the system, then what happens during the idle stage. Now this is completely related to the ATM system. Okay, so for example, in a card is inserted serving the customer, so you have got an entry read card or exit. So we exit, you eject the card. So here is a customer, he gets authenticated, he selects the transaction happens, that's one kind of serving the customer, right? So when the card is inserted, this kind of transaction happen. If it is cancelled, it will go to the idle mode. Now if it is a failure, it will go to the out of service. So what happens if it is cancel or failure? The maintenance, it enters into the maintenance mode. So whether it's a in a service mode or a failure mode. So then there is a something called in VMware, you got something called a self-test area. In self-test means it will automatically do the self-test stating the conditions of idle. If it is a maintenance, it will again go to the self-test. If something is failure out of service, the self-test will go and indicate that it is an out of service. So self-test has got a mechanism in order to indicate if it is a failure out of service, and if it is not failure, it may go to the idle state or maintenance state. So, or else you have, if you're out of service, you shut down, and shutdown means it is off. So this is an input. It may go, you can have do a manual shutdown, or you can have an out of service shutdown. And also from an idle stage, you can also go to the turnoff stage or shutdown. So this is something called as a behavioral model for a bank ATM. So speaking more about behavioral model, for example, a phone billing system will accept information about calls made by a customer, calculate the cost of these calls, or generate a bill to be sent to that customer. By contrast, real-time systems are often driven with a minimal data processing. For example, a landline phone switching system responds to events such as receiver off hook, okay, by generating a dial tone, or pressing a keys on the handset by capturing the phone number. So these are something called as a behavioral model, that how do you ensure that the system is going to work properly? What are the situations? Like in the phone system, you said that, okay, you off hook it. So when you off hook it, so what are the failure modes? In this off hook, neither you are able to receive the call, neither you are able to dial the call. But yes, it is detectable with the help of different tones, is off hook or dial tone, etc. So this comes in the software engineering as a behavioral models, one of the software engineering skills, in terms of when you're designing the software and you're trying to do a pre-planning by receiving all the inputs before you start doing the project. So if you refer to another diagram from an earlier slide depicting behavioral pattern of ATM model, which we discussed. So altogether, these interactions can happen in five ways, again I'm saying, and this is nothing but a crude analysis: a create, read, update, delete, and execute. So very important thing as a crude model. Now, event-driven model. And how does an event-driven model works? In event-driven modeling, it shows that how a system responds to an external and internal events. It is based on the assumption that a system has a finite number of the states, and that event is nothing but stimuli, may cause a transition from one state to another. For example, a system controlling a wall may move from a state wall open to the state of wall closed. So when an operator command, stimulus is input. So, which isn't easy to understand. So this view of a system is particularly appropriate for a real-time systems. So depends upon how is event-driven model, or a behavioral model, or a generalized model. So further speaking more about event-driven model, refer to an example of a control software for a very simple microwave oven to illustrate event-driven modeling. So real microwave ovens are actually much more complex than the system, but the simplified system is easier to understand. A simple microwave has a switch to select full or half power, a numeric pad to input the cooking time, a start-stop button, and an alphanumeric display. So this is taken as an event-driven model. So I assume that a sequence of actions in using the microwave is select the power level, either half power or a full power. Now input the cooking time using the numeric keypad, which is number of seconds or number of minutes. So based on the different cooking of the product or cooking of a particular dish, you have a choice to select from minutes to seconds. So then you do a press start and the food is cooked for the particular given time. So for safety reasons, the oven should not operate when the door is open. So this is a very important point. On completion of the cooking, a buzzer is sounded. So the oven has a simple alphanumeric display that is used to display various alerts and warning messages. So based on the event, what we discussed, that door is open, it will say door is open. Okay, the cooking is finished, it will say that cooking done. So that display gives an indication that this is something called the event-driven model. So in the UML state diagrams, rounded rectangles represent system states. They may include a brief description following do of the actions taken in the state, the labeled arrows. So labeled arrows represent a stimuli, that means it's kind of in some kind of an event or event action. So that force a transition from one state to another. So you can indicate start and end states using the filled circles as in the activity diagrams. So when you have the activity diagrams, the arrows, then the rectangles with a square or a rounded rectangles, or maybe a filled circles. See, this all together, one can understand what does an activity diagram is doing. So let us summarize here. The system modeling process is it's a process of developing abstract model of systems, with each model representing a different view or perspective of that system. System model has now come to mean representing a system using some kind of a graphical notation, which now almost always based on notation in the unified modeling language, which is UML, unified modeling language. System modeling helps the analyst to understand the functionality of system, and models are used to communicate with customers. So models of existing systems used during requirements engineering. They help clarify what the existing system does and can be used as a basis for discussing its strength and weaknesses. So these then leads to the requirement of a new system. Models of the new systems used during the requirement engineering to help explain the proposed requirement to another system stakeholder. There are several types of architectural models discussed in this chapter, and each of them are useful in their own context. Thank you. I hope you understand the system model very much way. You must have gone through a different event-driven model, behavioral model, and it will definitely guide you to make a decision whether it's generalized, event-driven, another thing in terms of completing the system model. Thank you once again before we move to the next topic. Thank you.